Now, why was he chosen? Because he was wealthy. Are you getting me? Now, what I want to bring from his story is something that he said, which is what I want to explain about the message of David. Why did he become rich? He began to tell them that when he was young, he wanted to have gold. All right? Have gold to rub together in his purse, he said. And he didn't have any. So one day, he was walking, of course, which is a path of greatness anytime. He was walking in the city library or the records department. So he was watching how business people did business. And then one day, a man needed like an agreement written out, copied out. He was desperate to have it at the particular time. So when he came, the thing wasn't ready. So he made a deal with the man that I will work hard day and night to get this thing ready for you in a number of days. And my payment will be that you will teach me how to make money. Are you getting the point? So the man said, fine, good deal. You see, that's a man of wisdom. He didn't say, give me money. He said, teach me how to become rich. So the man came, and just like he promised, the thing was ready. So he began to give him one lesson after the other. First lesson he gave him, I can't remember the details now. He said, a portion of what you earn is yours to keep. That is, don't spend everything you have. Keep some to yield more for you later. Anyway, little by little, the young boy was learning. Every year, a man will return, give him another nugget, another word of wisdom, and the boy will use it. And the man was assessing how well the boy was doing. Finally, one day, when he saw how much the boy had done with the little wisdom he had given him, he saw that this guy is a good boy. He now called him and said, now, remember where our story started from? This man was called to come and teach wisdom on how to make wealth because he was wealthy. But how did he become wealthy? That's what we're trying to analyze. So that man said, since you are so good as a young man, I see you are an enterprising person. You are a young man of diligence. You are a young man of wisdom. Now come and please come and manage my estate for me. He said, my sons are not responsible. Are you getting the point? So he hired that boy for a good deal. And the boy left where he was working and decided to go and work for the man. This is the interesting part. He did not become wealthy by his own labors. When that man died, he left a huge chunk of his estate to the boy who knew how to handle it. That's why I'm telling the story. The guy was teaching men how to be wealthy. But remember, his wealth did not come from labor. His wealth came from the fact that another man saw his diligence and saw that he could handle wealth. Are you getting my point? And then endowed wealth upon him. My brother, my sister, that is how life is. David did not build Israel. Are you getting my point? He was called and made a king in Israel. He did not build Israel. Do you follow the point I'm making? He was a shepherd in the great nation Israel. But God looked and found his heart and made him a ruler in Israel. But what am I trying to explain today? How did David become a ruler? I told you this story of the richest man in Babylon to let you understand that in life, the keys of the kingdom, they are committed to men. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. I remember the days of M.K. Abiola. Can you remember him? M.K. Abiola could make a man wealthy anytime. Listen, that guy was making kings. What about making millionaires? That one was a small thing. He literally, don't let me give you gist that I heard from here and there, but there's a particular country somewhere in East Africa who he personally funded the government. Do you know a man who is poor today, God can make him a very wealthy man tomorrow. Most of the time, what he uses is connection with one person. Now, are you following the point I'm trying to make? Now, let me just say this. Let me start from that end. You can never orchestrate it. The kingdom belongs to God. He's the one that directs the connections. When we don't understand the principle of seed time and harvest, that's when we want to start from harvest. When a man is getting connected, that is harvest. I told the story, I think here last time, I think I told it in church also. When I heard how, I'll tell you the two stories, I've told them again and again. How did Billy Graham become the most renowned evangelist in the world? It was simple. One day, Pat Robertson, after he was a young Christian, after listening to Billy Graham, he said, God, this is a man of God, A man who's preaching the true gospel of God. So he called the man in charge of the media in America and said, you need to listen to this man. And that man eventually was persuaded. He listened to Billy Graham and called his chief editors and said, from now on, make sure this man is famous. I don't know whether you get my point. Imagine that Alex Ibru listened to a preacher on TV and calls the editor of Guardian, the senior editor of Guardian, and said, that man is a very good man. Make sure he's famous. Every day, there is an article. If he preaches a message, they will summarize it and put it inside the newspaper. At the end of 1 year, everybody in Nigeria will know that preacher. No matter how short and poor he is, everybody in Nigeria will know him. How did T.D. Jakes become world-renowned? You've heard that story before. He told it himself. He went to preach. He had been preaching hard for a long time. He was already doing women that were loose. And women were getting loose. But just a few women who came got loose. Are you getting my point? Then one day he preached for Carlton Pearson. Carlton Pearson had a program on TV, 30 minutes. So he had four preachers to put in as a part of the convention that he did. And he put 7 minutes from each preacher to make 28 minutes. And he put T.D. Jakes in as one of the four. And then Paul Crouch, the principality of TBN. For information, TBN is the biggest television network in the world. I don't mean Christian network. I said television network. They go through $1 million in fees in about 3 days, 2 or 3 days. They finish paying $1 million as fees for satellite. They are big. Are you getting my point? Yeah, the man was writing a book. And he was having confusion in his soul on what to put and what not to put. Are you getting what I'm saying? And he entered his house and put on the TV. And he saw one big fat man preaching. And the man was describing how Jesus rose up from the dead. And he went to his disciples and showed them his wounds. And said, show them your wounds. At that point, Paul Crouch was confused as to whether to put a chapter of all the disappointments and all the hurts he suffered in building TBN. When he heard, show them your wounds, he said, good, who is that man telling me to show them your wounds? He began to look for T.D. Jakes. So when you hear that, when they are rating preachers in America, T.D. Jakes is rated by the world as the number one preacher in America. And everybody, there is no book since Woman Thou Art Loosed that I'm aware of that T.D. Jakes wrote that's not a bestseller. All this time I was struggling. I'm marketing. You have not been given the connection yet. Are you getting my point? T.D. Jakes' books are marketed not by Christian companies, but by any company at all. I watched him once discussing on how to move the gospel. He said once, one of these big publishing companies in America came to him and said, okay, let's do business now. He said, why not? There's some Christians will say, no, unbeliever. T.D. Jakes, that's not the issue. These guys have a distribution network no Christian has. He said, you enter Walmart, you see my books there. You go to airports, his books are displayed side by side with non-Christian books. The books are everywhere. They came to him and said, let us see. He said, that day he entered his limo, drove down to Wall Street. Is it Wall Street now? Whatever it is. And then, according to him, he wore a very nice shirt, a very nice suit, and an ugly tie. That's what he said. And he rode off to their office and they sat down. They agreed on terms. Books he will write, he said, the only thing he told them that nobody edits my books. I talk about Jesus Christ and God as much as I want to, and nobody says nothing. They put it in writing. Good. And he signed. And periodically, they send him checks, royalties. And according to him, the checks are good. I mean, like... How did he become like that? Because one day, Paul Crouch said, come. The Bible said the king sent for him and loosed him. Are you getting my point? That's what we're calling the mercies of David. Listen, if you want to struggle by yourself to do everything in life, you won't live long. It's not possible. Let me tell you the only thing you can do. The little you have been given to do, do it well. And eventually, what God does is to open doors. How does he do it? He connects great people to you. That one is very important. Let's read Isaiah chapter 55. I say I'm talking about what? The mercies of David. It says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no water and no money, come. He said, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. He said, why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. He said, listen, that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Now listen to how he's describing it. He said, behold, this is the manifestation of those mercies. I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you will. Now listen to this. When the mercies are shown to you, when God has made that covenant and is showing you the same mercies that he showed to David, what you begin to experience is from verse 5. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you. Why? Because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. He said it is because of the Lord, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. I want to understand something here. When divine favor, that's what we talk about, divine favor. What it means is that people, listen, people who are principal, you know, in some of my principalities, all right? People who make people, listen, it's God that gave them the keys. Don't fight them. Listen, you know, I've told you before, life is not fair. The first person to explain it to me is Oswald Chambers. He said, bros, life is not fair. I said, I hear you. He said, don't expect to be fair. It's never fair. That's the summary of it. Solomon said, the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the one who thinks he's strong. That is, strong men in the time of battle, they suddenly faint. They don't understand what is going on. Why? Because the Bible says that victory is of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Life is not fair. That is, the man who succeeds, materially speaking, more than others, is not the one who worked the hardest. Usually what you find in life is usually the most connected. Now, when we're talking about connected, I don't mean that his father knew people. I mean that at a time, God connects people to him and people start serving him. See what he said here. When I say most connected, please don't misunderstand me at all. I don't mean that his father was an ambassador, so his father knows other ambassadors. That's not what I mean. I mean that you see the man who makes phone calls and things start getting done is the man who knows people the most to call. Not because they are his father's friends, but because God has commanded those men to serve him. One day a man walked into Archbishop Benson Daosa's office. He says, sir, what is the glory of God? Do you know, we used to say that as a joke. It is now that I'm preaching to you, I'm connecting that thing. Because the Bible said here, listen to what he said. It said, the nation, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. A man walks into Archbishop Benson Daosa's office, says, sir, what is the glory of God? The man said, the glory of God. He said, yes. You want to know what the glory of God? He said, yes. He picked his phone, dialed. Hello? Say hello. Is that the commissioner of police? He said, yes, sir. How are you doing? I want to say, yes, I just wanted to say good morning. How are you doing? Let me bless you. And I thank you very much, sir. He hung the phone. Look at the man. That and that number. Is that the governor? Ah, the governor. He hung up. That and that number. Is that the vice chancellor? After he called like five heavy people, he said, that is the glory of God. Pick up the phone. Now, then we used to laugh about it. Do you know, it's now I understand what he was trying to say. He said, the people that didn't know you, you will call and they'll be saying, yes, sir. He said, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Are you getting the point I'm making? You see, Nigerians now, they play football and they pay them hundreds of millions of dollars together, all of them. People are, every month, people are earning. One day we calculated how much Kanu was being paid in a week. And it came to, I think, either 7 or 21 million naira. Including when he's injured. You know David Beckham? He finally scored a goal last week. For hey, Galaxy, they call it. For all the millions of dollars. It's not fair. But that's just life. How did Okocha and Co. ever have the the ability to go to the length they went. One man's name, Clemens Westroff. People don't say, this man is exporting Nigeria. I say, look at you. Look at this. Don't let me call anybody name this afternoon. Before that, you will play. Odegbami played ball. Oh my God. Shego Odegbami played. Aloysius Atuegu. Remember all those names? The days of Clemens Westroff. Westroff would just look and say, man, this guy if he play ball. Yeah, come. Off to Europe. Next time he comes to Nigeria, the guy changes $1 million to Naira and the whole town goes crazy. It's not skill. It's that one day God sent somebody to connect him somewhere. Are you getting the point I'm making? What are we talking about? The message of David. How did David become king in Israel? You know the story? He was anointed. I realized one thing. We should read that one. It's very, very important. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. It wasn't connection primarily that made David. It was the anointing of God. But when the anointing of God wanted to manifest itself, God began to give him able men. I used to say, you've heard me say it before, I corrected myself several times. I thought David was too strong. David was a strong man, no doubt. He was a strong man of faith, and he grew into being a strong man of war. But that was not what made him. How many Goliaths are you going to kill before you become king? How many? One day they brought David to the presence of a king. He began to behave like he's his mentor, just for deliverance sake. So the guy definitely was not James Bond. But how did he become king? That's what Isaiah was calling the mercies of David. What happened? Isaiah should open where? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, because of time, I don't want to read everything. After Saul died, it was now time to make David king. Initially, David was made king in Judah alone. If you go and read in Samuel, you find out on 2 Samuel, the beginning of it. Initially, he reigned for 7 years over Judah alone. And the son of Saul was reigning over the rest of Israel. And then again, let's look at that. I won't read it. Abner was the reason. Say it was Ishbosheth, right? The son of Saul. He was reigning over the whole of Israel because of one man called Abner. If you read the story, that's the Abner I was telling you about. That the men of David, Asahel was numbered as one. It was Asahel was numbered as one of them, a strong man. Yet Abner, without looking, used the back. Oh God, that is power past power. Abner was the chief of staff to Saul. Now, because of Abner, the whole of Israel, they wanted David to be their king, but they couldn't talk. I don't have time to show that to you. Go on to 2 Samuel. The whole of Israel, they wanted David to be king. But because of Abner, they couldn't talk. Abner, even Ishbosheth was afraid of Abner. Only one man sustained Ishbosheth as king for 7 years, despite the fact that everybody wanted David. I said, the keys of this kingdom, eh? Now, so it be. God gave it to Abner. And that was it. Nobody could do anything about it. Then when the time was over, God looked at Abner and said, next time you hear that, now, because these things are complicated. Abner was sinning against God while he was doing that. His master Saul had died. He should have just told his son, oh boy, you know the fact. God has anointed the other guy. Let's leave. It was when that one accused him, you know, it's very funny, of sleeping with a concubine. Abner felt so insulted. He said, all these days, I've made you king. So even if I carry concubine, because should you even talk? Now he vexed. He decided to cross over to David. That was when he said, sat the elders down and said, you know all the while, you wanted David as king. That is, I was the reason that David is not your king till today. He said, now it is time to make David king. Of course, when he crossed over to Joab's side, Joab said, one, after killing my brother, you want to dispossess me of my throne as the chief of staff here. That's why I killed him. But that's by the way. The point I'm making is that when it was time to make David king, look at what God did. David was a strong man, but there are a number of things that God did for David. I don't have time to read everything, but let's just read verse 10. You can read the whole of 1 Chronicles chapter 11. You will see what I'm trying to say here. It said, now these are the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who gave him strong support in his kingdom, together with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Did you notice that? It wasn't his own labor, but God sent him men, and they gave him what? Strong support. There's another verse. Now, the whole thing described those men, how powerful they were. Let's read another verse in chapter 12, verse 1. If you read the whole of 11, he was just describing how those men were strong. He talked about how one man will stand against 300, one man will single-handedly face an army. These are the men who came to David, the Bible said, to give him strong what? Support. See verse 12. He said, now these are the ones, verse 1 of chapter 12. He said, now these are the ones who came to David as Ziklag, while he was still restricted because of Saul, the son of Kish. Notice, and they were among the mighty men who helped in him in war. He said they were equipped with bows, using both the right hand and the left to sling stones and to shoot arrows from the bow. They were Saul's kinsmen from Benjamin. They began to name them. He will tell you, verse 8, about those ones from Gad, the Gadites, who came over to David while he was in the wilderness. Mighty men of valor, he said, men trained for war, who could handle shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and they were as swift as the gazelles on the mountains. They will tell you about, you know, this one that we quote all the time, about the men of Issachar, all that kind of thing. Those were men who came to support David to make him king. Are you getting my point? It wasn't his energy. The mercies of David, the mercy that God showed David was that he gave him favor with men. And all of them came down to lay down their talents and their skills. Now, so I'm explaining that we've described great things. You are talking to a little boy, David. You are telling him he will be the king over Israel. And what God is saying is that I'm not saying you will struggle to be king. I'm saying when the time has come, I will send people that have the ability to make kings. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Abner was never going to be a king. He never wanted to be a king. But he knew that whoever he decided ruled Israel. After Saul's death, he said, okay, boys, you know our last president. It was a vintage Abner. You might just say, okay, in this state, this is the next governor. Whichever method he used, but he was the Abner of the nation. You are getting the point? He said, okay, people campaigned. No matter how fine you are or how much oil money you drank, you can campaign for president all you want. 2 weeks to election, you call all the boys. So yeah, enough campaigning. Fine boy, go and sit down in Cross River State. Oil shake, go back to your Niger Delta. As for me, I have appointed my king. 2 weeks to PDP primaries. Umar, your brother served me well. That was it, though. You can complain all you want. He says, upon the kingdoms of men, the lowliest of men. That was all that happened. All the money. Oh, God. Some people use money. At the end of the day, the man who didn't spend money became the president. Why? Because Abner said, this is the next king. Are you following what I'm going to say? Why I'm saying this is that, you see, sometimes when we are praying, it's good we have some of this understanding. And you will know that with God, with you, what matters is that God says it is time. You cannot get up and start greeting Abner. Say, Abner, good morning, sir. maybe I can be king now. Abner, may I shine your shoes? No. I wish Christians would understand this. That when your time comes, God is the one that opens the doors. It's not you that struggles to get them open. When I'm talking about the man who has a strong connection, I'm not talking about the man who knows people. I'm talking about the man that people know. You know, there's a difference between people who know people and somebody that people know. You know, just to help you understand some of these things. I was analyzing, with my wife the other day, about, you know, talking about airlines. You want to build an airline. Do you know the price of an aircraft? the cost of one jumbo jet, like the Airbus A380 or Boeing 787. That's the new one, right? They were using 777. You know how much 787 is being sold? $550 million for one. US dollars. And then you hear that Richard Branson got up and ordered maybe 5 or 10. Let me ask you. You think he paid? Do you think he paid? He just comes and says, because you see, Boeing has to sell. Airbus must sell. So you know what they're actually looking for? Somebody who can buy. It doesn't mean you have money. But they know that if we give you this aircraft, for the next 20 years, it is alive and well, and your airline is floating. That's what they are looking for. Therefore, Richard Branson will go up and say, oh yeah, give me 5. You think he's dropping money? The guy's not dropping 5 kobo. Then tomorrow you hear that one man, you value how much money he has, and say the man is worth $15 billion. Ask him, how much is really your gap between you and I? How much is really your own? He said, actually, Airbus, we are owing them $2.5 billion. That is, we are not even planning to pay yet. Now, before people say that, it's not good. It's credit. No, it's not. If you don't have money, get him to come and carry his aircraft. Not his spoil. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm ready to say. The point is that where he did not labor, the Bible said that you are going to enter cities you did not build. That is, you will use aircrafts you did not build, neither did you pay for. You're going to be, person is thinking about, God said, I've prayed about it in my heart. I just know one day we'll start airline, big airlines in Nigeria. Hey, $550 million, don't worry. The Bible said a good name is better than silver and gold. That is, Richard Branson as a name in business is more important than you coming with cash. I don't know what you're getting what I'm saying. The guy comes and says, okay, give me 5. And they will give him. I told you about pockets with holes. I noticed one major problem we have in Nigeria as a nation is that we pay for everything. You see, what do I mean? There's a man I'm buying phones from. When I want a phone, I go buy from him. Now, I buy from him for 2 reasons. That's mobile phones, handsets. One, his price is very close to the best prices in Lagos. All right? There are people who sell the lowest in Lagos. Like on a phone that they sell for 4,700 naira. That's the really low-end phones. You probably sell in Enugu for 5,000. Those guys don't give you warranty. He gives you 1 year full warranty. So phones you probably buy in Lagos for 28,000. He will sell it to you in Enugu for 30. And you get your 1 year warranty. And if you are giving me warranty on stuff, I don't like to have warranty that I will travel to go and take advantage of. So for 2,000 naira extra, I will pay the guy. Last time he and I were speaking, and he told me something that I said this cheap because I never pay for the phones. He said, they know me. I just phone and say, I have orders for 5 phones. They ship, that is, he'll go to the airport by evening, go and pick the phones and give to you. Then you pay. He takes his commission on it and sends the money to the other people. Do you know if he defaults once, he won't get the phone again? That is, what he's using is what? A good name. That's why, listen, when you want to do business, stop trying to connect. It's God that brings connection. What you are supposed to do is build a name. Oh, my God. I say, if you want to do business, they just had a business. On 500 naira, you can't trust them. You won't go anywhere. Jesus said, he that is faithful in little is faithful also in much. You know, he didn't say we'll be faithful. He said, he that is faithful in little is faithful also in much. I said, one day when we become big, listen, my friend, if right now 1,000 naira is difficult for you to be faithful with, forget $1 million. Forget it. Forget it. People don't understand that thing. The message of David is what I'm going to explain. That is, what makes you great is not your strength. Is that God looks and says, you, assist that person to become great. So you want to build an airline? God knows how he does it. He will connect and say, all right, maybe it's Bombardier. Give him 2 jets to start. And all you do is, they say, bank guarantee. That's when one of your friends will remember that when you were in university, you were the only one that didn't used to cheat. You must be an honest person. And where is that fellow? He's currently the MD or maybe an AGM. Listen, these things don't take time. My friends, my mates are AGMs in banks. I'm not joking about that. The only way these things work, let me tell you, for those of you who are doing little business, better be careful who you hurt anyhow. Do you know, I was thinking about it one day. There are people who I work, they want to close maybe a $1 million deal, and I'll walk into the office, and I'll say, chicken, later now. I said, later, after the guy come out. I said, that man, he stole my 2,000 naira. Ah, 2,000. So the guy will come back in. He said, what happened? He said, okay, so this day, maybe we should finish tomorrow. He said, let's finish now. He said, no. My spirit just, all this spirit, I've told you about it. My spirit is not totally agreeing. He said, come back tomorrow. Tomorrow the guy will go Lagos. After 1 week, even you will lose hope. Your phone, I say, I was just thinking that maybe we shouldn't do the business anymore. Because somebody he trusted said you were not trustworthy. Yesterday I was, if I tell you where I was, you will laugh. I was in the toilet when my phone rang. Actually, I was running to the toilet when the phone rang. So I picked the phone and said, oh, but wait. He said, man won't marry woman. And they decided that they needed good reference for the man. So my friend said, I know one person who has known him for a long time. So he phoned me. And in 30 seconds, I said, he's a good man. That's it. That is, in 30 seconds, I said, he's a good man. Do you know, if I said, oh boy, you won't marry your sister. You're on your own. You know that. In 30 seconds, I said, he's a good man. He said, all right, I just wanted to tell that I've asked and you said so. I said, yes, I say so. Now, so it is with business. You will sit down. I'm serious. They will just make a phone call. Say, this guy said we should let him go away with goods worth $25 million. What do you think? I said, who? You mentioned that. I said, that one. If he says he will pay, he will pay. If he doesn't pay, it's not his fault. Trust me. I am telling you. And do you know that is more important than feasibility studies? Donald Trump said he doesn't have time to hire experts. He goes there and asks one or two questions around. In 15 minutes, he has done what other people spend $20,000 hiring experts to do. And he's gone away. With his own impression. No, this is how these things work. Nobody struggles and becomes exceedingly wealthy in life. It doesn't work. You can't. It's too big. It's such a difficult thing to do. So God said, cultivate faithfulness. He said, dwell in the land and cultivate what? Faithfulness. You want to build an airline? All you need, listen, you walk up somewhere. It's okay. Give us 2 small jets. Maybe even used one, 737s. Do you have money? We don't. We need bank guarantee. Then somebody will say, ABC and Co. or XYZ and Co. They want us to give them bank guarantees on $50 million. Ha! It's hard. Then one of the people on the board will say, I know Pastor Banky. He's my very good friend. Whatever he says, I believe it. He knows the chairman of that company. Let me ask him what he thinks. And as you are going on the road, your phone rings. One of your friends who's a DGM somewhere in a bank say, please, I need your advice, seriously. There's this serious business. This guy is championing it. What do you think? Do you think we can trust them with $50 million? And I say, most certainly you can. And they say, thank you. Listen, that is more important than all the... You can go and bring your grandfather's birth certificate. It doesn't look... No. Now, what am I going to say? What makes the difference between people saying yes and no? Now, that is the difference between the man who is favored and the one that is not. That is the difference between the Adam that's blessed and the one that's been cursed. You are getting the principle? Listen, you will become great in life. I've came today to preach to you that it will be by the mercies of David. It's not because of struggles or because you've gathered all the degrees. I like one thing Young Icho said. He said sometimes he feels funny. He'll stand as the chairman of a board in South Korea there. On his right are professors. you know, all kinds of degrees. And he will look, and he's the least qualified when it comes to paper certificates. Yet everybody says, yes, sir. It is called the glory of the Lord that was upon him. It's called the mercies of David. What's his name? Warren Buffett. I heard they asked the man, how come you have 17 members of staff? You know, 17. People working for him, they are 17. You know, you think that's too small, right? He said, actually, I need that much because my tax returns is in hundreds of pages. That otherwise, he needs only two people, him and his vice chairman. Why? Because he said, all I do is buy a good company and make sure they are being run by good managers, and I carry my eye commodity. Look for another big, good company to buy. That is, he's not struggling to maintain billions. He's just connected to strong men. Are you getting what I'm saying? He hires an Abner, hires a Joab, hires an Amasa, hires different kinds of people. That's why he'll just cross his leg, and men will be fighting wars on his behalf and earning millions and millions of dollars. And he says, look, 17 people, 15 of them, what they do is tax return. Do you get the point? So in life, it's not about struggling. Let me leave this one with you. These connections is called favor. It is not you knowing men. It is men being sent to know you. Don't forget Samuel, who anointed David. Samuel did not know David before. God sent David to his house. By many methods, God will send people into your life. Amen. Are you getting my point? No, really, that's the way it works. Somebody was telling me about one guy in this country. This guy, he worked somewhere before. Maybe he was working for Motorola or something. I don't know where he was working or one company. That was how he became connected. And he started being the single person that he was the one first person that brought SAGEM into Nigeria. So after some time, you find that every SAGEM you see people using, most likely on each phone, he has pocketed 500 naira. Now imagine one person pocketing 500 naira. Now you get what I say. It's not by struggling. One man will just say, I know that man. He's my guy. So the company will say, in that case, and this is how it works. Nobody pays for such things. They will give you goods worth $10 million. No, they started with a million. You do well, they increase to 10. They're also looking for market. What is scarce on earth are faithful people. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Listen, that's how greatness comes. It's not by struggling. It's by being shown the mercies of David. What's your responsibility? Dwell in the land, the Bible says, and cultivate faithfulness. And then you will be in the position to receive the mercies of David. That's what distinguishes the blessed person from the one that is not blessed. Have you learned anything today? All right, let us begin to pray therefore.